Please rise for our opening hymn, hymn number 338. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please rise. We will speak the invocation and Kyrie. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise is hymn number 336. Marita apparently wants to sing a solo for us.
This hymn may not be familiar to all of you, so I'm going to play it clear through once, melody only, before we sing.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please join me in the prayer of the day. O God, our leader and guide, in the waters of baptism, you bring us to new birth to live as your children. Strengthen our faith in your promises, that by your Spirit we may lift up your life to all the world through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 121, which we'll read responsively. I lift up my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps Israel. The Lord is your keeper. The sun shall not strike you by day. The Lord will keep you from all evil. The Lord will keep the second reading is Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 17. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. The word of the Lord. The gospel for today, the second Sunday in Lent, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and testified what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I don't know if you remember or not, but a year or so ago, I stood up here and I told you about a TV series, The Chosen, and they're getting ready to do season 6, I believe, next, which is Crucifixion of Christ. Last night, I turned on season 1, episode 7, to watch this story that we just heard today with the gospel, because as a visual person, I like how that comes across, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. The first sermon I gave over a year ago was also on this reading. Since that time, I've grown to love Nicodemus more and more. I think I put him in my top 3 biblical characters. I like Nicodemus for 2 reasons. He asks a lot of questions, and he has doubts. For a man and a respected leader of faith, he hasn't stopped learning, nor has he become like many of his colleagues who can't or won't consider a new thought or idea. He isn't locked in the box of 613 rules of law. On this night, he doesn't ask one question. He asks many questions. He starts with the premise, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus doesn't wait. He already knows what's in Nicodemus' heart, so he dives right in and replies, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, Nicodemus can't understand what he just heard, and I can relate to that. I think he's thinking, "What? What did you just say? What are you trying to tell me?" And Jesus responds by saying, "We must be born of water and spirit." Nicodemus still doesn't get it. How can these things be? Now, it's at this point that I can feel and understand where Nicodemus and Jesus are coming from. As a teacher and a coach, trying to teach a new concept or a play, practicing, working, reviewing, or going over a lesson, I too become frustrated when a student raises their hand and says, "I don't get it. Now, what do you want us to do?" And I know how Nicodemus feels. After a lifetime of learning, living, and having experiences, I'm still the one who says, "Wait, I have a question." I have always questioned everything. Maybe over a lifetime of practicing this method has led me to overthinking everything. As a child, I did, and I still do today, ask many questions. I'm a visual learner, and I also think visually. Plus, I always have a reply. My siblings can attest to this. Even after being lectured and admonished, I would still say, "Yeah, but what about?" I would just have another thought, and then another, and then another. I could be sent to bed, and I would shout down the heat vent, our intercom system of the day, "But what about this or that?" I would like to add that I was not arguing with my parents, but rather I was helping them think. So when Nicodemus says, "How can this be?" he's saying, "Yeah, but wait a minute." Which brings me to John 3:16. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That should end the discussion right there. But no, because just like Nicodemus, I have a question, because I've just been thinking. If you ever see me talking to the young ladies that I taught in confirmation last year, I most always ask them this question: what is the greatest commandment? They most always get it wrong. Obviously, I didn't do a very good job. They immediately panic and they think of the Ten Commandments. Most often, they answer, honor your parents. So there is that. And then I jog their memory and say, no, that is the Old Testament. What new commandments did Jesus give us? So here's my question. How do we get born again, Jesus? And how will I know when it's happened? And is it God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes? Or is it love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? And if I follow one, do I need the other to be saved? You see what happened there? I, just like Nicodemus, start to rely on what I think I know, what I've been taught, and what I have myself taught. He and I are overthinking the words and missing the point of the lesson. This might actually be a time when Jesus rolls his eyes and gives a heavy sigh. But maybe we've gotten it wrong with all these well-known verses. We seem to think all three are to give us something, to give us the right way to be and become a Christian, and to give us our ticket to heaven. Thank goodness Nicodemus and I have had time to grow and learn, and that the good news is that being born again does not have to be a one-time thing. Nicodemus was born again and again and again. I know this because he defended Jesus after being arrested with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He returned to the cross with Joseph of Arimathea to help prepare the body of Christ for burial. This is a man who has come to love Jesus, and he knows that a sinless man was crucified so that we may all live with him someday. So the lesson today is this: if you or someone you know who may or may not come to church or attend church events, but they're intrigued by Christ, or maybe attracted to this man we call Jesus, but can't seem to make up their mind, staying on the outside or totally commit, remind them of this. Nicodemus figured it out. The soldier of Golgotha figured it out. The thief on the cross figured it out. All three, who never went to confirmation or were baptized here, they knew, just as I do, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
Our hymn of the day is hymn number 337.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs. Faithful One, you renewed us by grace. As you have inspired faith through the work of your church, artists and hymn writers throughout the ages, give your church the means to praise your beauty today. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Living One, you delight in this world. The sun and the moon, the wind and the water declare your goodness. Preserve this earth and protect conservationists, scientists, and all who labor in service to creation. Hear us, O God. Mercy is great. Ruling One, you bless us to be a blessing. Open the hearts of all leaders to seek the flourishing of every person and lend your help to all who wait for justice, deliverance, and peace. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Compassionate One, you send your Son to save. Declare your word of acceptance to any who feel condemned and lift up any brought low by hatred and exclusion. Tend to all who are struggling with illness or loss, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Guiding One, you watch over our going out and coming in. Bless newcomers and new members in this assembly, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts, and accompany those who have recently left this community to journey elsewhere. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Eternal One, you neither slumber nor sleep. Be our keeper in life and in death. Thank you for our beloved who have died and for your promise which saves this whole world by your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Please join in the prayer our Father taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, and the power, forever and ever. Amen. I just have Titan and Evelyn for kids' sermon. Do you want to come?
Okay, so there are some scriptures read that said, was talking about the wind blowing. Does the wind ever blow? Here in Idaho, the wind blows. Have you ever seen it blow, Titan? Yeah? He's like, yeah, shut up. Yeah, does it blow, Evelyn? What does it do when it blows? Does it mess your hair up? Yeah. Does it blow dirt? The weatherman says the wind's going to blow. Does he just say that because he knows? Yeah, some meteorology science that tells us the wind's going to blow, about when clouds and stuff, you know, all happens. High fronts and low fronts. You know what? Although not as bad as some places. So We don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going. Where is it going when it leaves, right? We don't know anything about it, really. So, but here's how I'm tying this in. So do we know where God comes from? No. They say up in heaven. Where is that? Do we know? No. Is God always there, just like the wind?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? We don't know where he comes from. We don't know where he's going. let's talk about next week, guys. Next week, what's going to happen, Evelyn? You know. The kids are going to sing. We have a band, right? We have instruments. You better be here next week to see these guys sing. Probably not Titan so much, right? Because Titan does basketball and baseball and football, and he's a busy man. But we got some instruments and some special effects for our songs next week. So be here, okay? All right, we'll see ya.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the second Sunday in Lent. We especially welcome all of you who are visiting us in person today and those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy anniversary today to Ron and Rita Funk. Happy birthday this week to Isabella Zavison, Laura Porath, Judy Theobald, Pat Teedy, Bradley Jones, and Andrew Porath. Are there any other announcements? The offering will be received at this time. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. Ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our recessional hymn is hymn number 765. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.